Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a lot to get to. I'm trying to finish my Heisman ballot. It is due today. I sent Eric a note yesterday saying I have no idea how to separate Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. I was sending him this. He was at the Cardinal game yesterday, and I was watching the Cardinal game yesterday. It was a very, very good game. It was a good weekend in sports. I did the double on Saturday night. Double meaning you have two events, same sport, usually same sport, and you want to split it and go to both of them, but you don't know how to do it, and I did it. I went to ASU-UNLV basketball to start the night. And then made my way over to Grand Canyon University for their matchup with nationally ranked Louisville. And I will talk about that a little bit later because Rick Pitino, if you missed it over the weekend, went absolutely gaga over GCU. And the environment there, the level of play, the little guard Dwayne Russell was terrific. Was just terrific. Had a career high. Pitino said best performance by a guard he's ever seen. I mean, that's saying something. He laid it on pretty thick on GCU, which was good, but we're going to get into that a little bit later on in the show as well. And then, of course, yesterday morning, we had the bowl games being announced, and then the Cardinal game yesterday afternoon. So I guess starting with the Cardinal game, because it is the most recent of sporting events, it was a nice win. It was their most complete win. Carson Palmer played his best game. David Johnson continues to be truly amazing. I thought the offensive line played better. There were some penalties late in the game that your leaders should not make. But this is the story of the team. Their punter still is not good. Their special teams still are not special. We've seen that all season long. I think what's going to come down on this deal is the Cardinals are going to beat Miami this week. They're going to go to Miami and they're going to win. Miami just fell apart, and for some reason, I just feel like the Cardinals are going to head down there, and they're going to play well, and they're going to get a win. And then they're going to come home to New Orleans, and they're going to beat New Orleans. It's a team that's not very good, throws up a lot of points, has some good individual players, but the Cardinals are going to be playing their final home game of the season. They're going to win these two games, and we're going to be sitting here the week that they play Seattle, and we're going to go through all these mathematical equations, possibilities. Like we'll get a chalkboard and put it up on the green screen and some pens, and we'll sit there and go through, if this team loses and this team loses and this team loses, then the Cardinals have a shot at making it. We're going to go through all this exercise, and it's going to come down to whether or not they win at Seattle in a few weeks. And if they win at Seattle in a few weeks, then I think they beat the Rams, and they're going to be sitting there hoping for some help. I wouldn't say major miracle. It would take a minor miracle, but that's what we have in the NFL, where you can sit here all the way into December and not eliminate teams that have losing records and haven't played well. That's just how the NFL is. I don't think the Cardinals are a great team. Yesterday, they did what they're supposed to do at home. The Bruce Arians play call on a 4th-and-1, really gutsy because he knows, you know, I know, all of us know, that's not a call that you make. And the whole risk it, no biscuit deal, it's cute, it's fine, it's cuddly when it works. When it works, then guys like us are told to shut up. I didn't agree with the call. Call worked. J.J. Nelson finally caught a ball last few weeks. J.J. Nelson was looking anything but a second receiver in the NFL, but he made a big play late. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say what a great game Michael Floyd had because he's a first-round pick, okay? First-round picks are supposed to have big games. He's been in this league long enough that to go through this whole peak and valley, as Michael Floyd figured it out, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to waste your time or my time. Clearly, he hasn't from a consistency standpoint. I did think yesterday in watching the Cardinals play that they've developed a nice third option. Because let's be honest, we all know this is the case on offense. If Carson turns around and hands the ball off to David Johnson, not Andre Ellington, David Johnson, that's a really good option. If he finds and throws the ball in Larry Fitzgerald's general direction or zip code or area code, that's a really good decision. But beyond that, there hasn't been anything, really, from a consistency basis. Yesterday, Jermaine Gresham was a factor, in my opinion. Made some big plays yesterday. Made some big blocks. On that 4th-and-1, DJ Humphreys and Jermaine Gresham move the pile forward. They get the first down, and it was almost a touchdown by David Johnson. So I don't think it takes a brain surgeon just to sit here and look at them and say, you got to have more than just two guys out on the field to make something work. It was Carson's best game of the season. Is that by coincidence? To me, he just looked crisper. Yes, he got hit. Quarterbacks are going to get hit. But he made some throws yesterday and just had a command about him yesterday that looked very different from early, middle, most of this season. Most of this season, he has looked tired and old, and the ball's gotten out slow. That was not the case yesterday. And Washington is not the best defense on the planet. Doesn't matter to me. He played well enough. So, and the defense found a way to win without Tyrann Mathieu being a part of the equation. That's all well and good. They had a players-only meeting. That's fine. But this is how it's going to go. They're going to win at Miami, and they're going to come home. They're going to beat New Orleans, and we're going to sit here the week that they play Seattle, and there's going to be a whole lot made about this is going to be the game that will turn the Cardinals' fortunes and season around. They obviously need to win out. Nobody's expecting them to win out, and then they need help. It's not like you win the last four games, you're going to get in. Like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have become a pain in the side of the Cardinals. Dirk Cutter's figured it out. Dirk Cutter's got them playing really well. So, you know, on the Cardinals end of things, nice weekend. That's I'm going to leave it at that, because I'm not going to be one of these guys that sits here and cheerleads and pom-poms and all that stuff off of one win. We'll get in the bowl game stuff here in a little bit. I saw Rich Rod, though. I want to get into this. I saw Rich Rod on Friday night. Friday night, I did watch the Pac-12 championship game, and Washington just destroyed Colorado, clubbed them into the ground. But I saw Rich Rod on TV, and automatically, in my mind, this is very smart on his part. He's had a just dreadful season that he's trying to turn the page on. He needs to be visible. He needs to be in front of recruits. Obviously, some national run. And for him, it's the backup. To think that Rich Rod believes that he is 100% secure and safe, even with the financial plan that's put together that he's tied into with Greg Byrne and Sean Miller and this annuity and all that stuff is great to talk about. But for him, why stick around? So I'm going to go out and I'm going to be the analyst for Fox. If Fox wanted another Pac-12 coach, let's just go down the list on this. Mike Leach, he'd be okay, kind of a wild card, not that gregarious. Mark Helfrich was available because he was fired. You're not going to have Coach Anderson. You're not going to have Sonny Dykes because he's trying to get out. David Shaw, maybe they asked him, maybe they didn't because he's done it before. Clay Helton doesn't do much for me. Jim Mora would be fine, except Jim's under the gun at UCLA. Todd Graham would be fine on the air. But Rich is more polished. Kyle Whittingham would have been fine too. Now, Kyle Whittingham, you could have made the argument because his team defensively was so, so good. Rich came close against Washington, took them to overtime. But I'm watching Rich Rod and thinking that those few thoughts. A, it's good for him to be visible. B, it's his backup plan through his agent. C, is this the best that they've got within the conference? I think it is. He's probably the most gregarious talker. Eric's under the weather today, but I'm going to pop him on here. Would you agree with that assessment about Rich Rod?
I would. And it also helps, Brad, that Rich Rod has done it for CBS Sports Network in between his time at Michigan and his time at U of A. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. And he did do a pretty good job, I thought.
Bad game.
So he looked a little stiff, but it's hard when, you know, you've got your mind on coaching 24/7, 365,
sure.
And then you have to just quickly throw on a suit and do a stand-up down the field. So,
and he hadn't done it in a while.
No.
Hadn't done it in a while. I think he'd be fine doing it.
I do, too.
But it was a bad game. So when you have a bad game, that's when you can tell if an analyst just had some producer say, hey, talk about this, this, and this, versus he actually dug down and did some of his research.
You really think he's in trouble down there?
No, I don't think he's in trouble. I think in his mind, I should probably have a few backup things going
on. But if 2017 goes like 2016, are we sitting in these same seats a year from now saying, man, I can't believe Richard got fired? I think it's possible, but I don't think it's likely.
I just think in his case, it's where are you going with this? You're going to get your head kicked in for the next couple of years at least. They have nothing. They had seven walk-ons at one point on special teams. And that means you don't have much. It means you've lost on recruits, okay? So when you go down that far, why continue? It just didn't work. People want to stick in tough situations. People want to try and figure it out. It doesn't matter if it's marriage or business or whatever it is. They want to try and figure it out, okay? There's this level of just stick to it, and you don't know what's coming around the corner, and it'll all get turned around, all that stuff. In a case of a coach, if you're at a job where you've already seen that we're not going to win here, the fact that they won here a couple of years ago, they won there a couple of years ago, I'm sure for Rich, says something. If you're Todd Graham and you're sitting here a year from now and you're going to be playing in the bowl game at Chase Field again, that's probably a pretty good indication it's not going to get any better. And that's why when I point out how ASU has played in these who care bowl games, that the program is not going to heights. Like I thought Colorado got screwed over the weekend. So Colorado makes it the Pac-12 title game and they end up losing and then they don't go to the Rose Bowl. Instead, they ship them off to play Oklahoma State in the Alamo Bowl. And that's fine for Colorado, who's done nothing through the years. And now they're building. And yeah, USC, you could make the argument, is one of the best teams in the country right now. But I think Colorado, man, for the body of work that they did, and for the Rose Bowl, I get it. It's LA. It's TV market. It's sexy. They've got some big name players. I get all that. I get the business side of it. I just felt bad for Colorado. Colorado going to the Rose Bowl playing Penn State, they would have done really well in bringing fans there. They just would have. But it's not going to draw the TV number that USC gets. So the business side aced them out. It's unfortunate. We're going to get on the other side to a couple things on the college front. The other bowl games, obviously the Final Four is set. I've got some thoughts on that front. We're going to hear from Rick Pitino and what he said about Grand Canyon University, because it really shook some people up over the weekend. I had some people at ASU that were not happy with me because I'm paying attention. How can you pay attention to that school over there? And we've been here. We're in the Pac-12. Come on. Are you hearing yourself? This is why they are going to be a tournament team, and you're going to be sitting there scuffling in an ancient building. You've got to figure it out if you're ASU. That's next. By the way, as the week goes on, the winter baseball meetings are in Washington, D.C. Jordan Hamm with Sports 360 AZ, part of our staff, is in Washington, D.C., and will be with the Diamondbacks this afternoon, tonight, all the way through Thursday at the winter meeting. So you see plenty of content up on the website at sports360az.com, the winter baseball meetings in the Diamondbacks. Pleased to have Jordan back there. Saturday night, I went over to Grand Canyon University, and we have done GCU basketball, and actually GCU athletics. We've been talking about them since we started this back in 2011. We saw GCU as this little speck over on the west side of town, but there was some financial people that got involved with it. Their first basketball coach, Russ Pennell, is a good friend. So I started seeing what was going on over there. Their president, Brian Mueller, I got to know him. Full disclosure, my daughter ended up going there and had a good experience. And we were doing stories on GCU before GCU had, I don't know, 200-300 people in their building. And we've been there every step of the way, paying attention to GCU, while others just kind of jump in, hoping they get some media buys out of the deal. It's fine. We're about content. And so Saturday night, it was in my opinion, it was the biggest game since GCU started this new regime. And the new regime included, of course, Jerry Colangelo. Jerry Colangelo decided to get involved and talk, and I don't want to say persuade, but talk to universities about coming to Phoenix to play GCU. This is at a time where Arizona State was playing teams from directional schools for most every one of their non-conference games. And at the time I was explained to that, well, you don't get it. Teams don't want to come here. It's really hard. It's really expensive, so on and so forth. And I just don't care. I don't want to hear excuses. And that's all I got. Of course, I should be understanding that a university with 50,000 students can't afford to schedule good games. Of course I should. Or that they can't get a new facility put in place. I should be completely understanding of all that, but a little private Christian university on the west side can convince Louisville to come here. Or can go play teams that are well known. They had New Mexico here last year. And so competition is a good thing. Competition is a very good thing. All of a sudden, Arizona State playing a really good schedule this year. There's still some directional schools. I think they have Mississippi Valley State. They played Portland State, some schools that you just look at and say, come on, really? I get two or three of those. I don't want five or six or eight of those. Like tomorrow night, ASU is playing Purdue, and that's great. And they played earlier this year against Kentucky. GCU earlier this year played against Duke. Am I comparing the two? Yeah, I am, because they're right here in our own backyard. And for years I was told, well, they're in the WAC, well, they're on probation, well, they play Central Texas Valley State or whatever the school is, so you really can't take them serious, Brad. No, that's not how it works, guys. It's not how it works. In basketball, these kids bust their ass, and Dan Marley busts his ass. So Dan deserves just as much attention as Arizona State trying to get it figured out, whether it's Herb Sendek or now Bobby Hurley. I think we've been very fair on both sides. The expectation should be higher for what Arizona State is doing because, I don't know, they've been here a long time. And I don't know, when you have 50,000 students, you would think you'd be able to put a basketball program that year in and year out could compete with the team in Tucson, but most years it doesn't other than a regular season victory. It's a fact. I want everything to be good in our state. I do. NAU has not been good the last 2 years for Jack Murphy. I don't know why. I like Jack. They play Cal State Bakersfield tonight. Yeah, I got my radar up for them. That's what we do here. I want basketball to be just as important as the other sports, not be off the radar. It doesn't matter if it's Robert running the Suns into the ground for 5 years and yet making money hand over fist, or if it's Grand Canyon University building something over on that side of town and doing it with the online university that some people think is nothing more than a puppy mill. And there are some people that think that. I tend to look at X's and O's and try to put all the noise off to the side. So when I walked into the arena at GCU the other night, I was at ASU I got there at 4:45. I left ASU at the first media timeout against UNLV. There was very little vibe, very little energy. That's just how it is with ASU basketball. And people that have been there forever say this is just how it is. I don't accept that. So I walk into GCU, and it's like a freaking rock concert, which is great. It's just it's all big time. And the kids are going nuts, and they're having a good time. The game itself gets started against Louisville, and I'm thinking, okay, can Dan hang in there? Yeah, I want to see Dan Marley do well. He got a bad deal over with the Suns. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it, the way that went down. These are the Havocs. The Havocs are great. The Havocs, there's tons of Havocs. Like, everybody has their own little deal. ASU has Curtain of Distraction, and it's fine. It's funny, it's cute, but it only happens during free throws. This happens all game long. Where I was sitting, I was shaking because the spot I was in was just shaking. And fans are crazy. This isn't even just students. You know, there's grown-ups there. And here's the other thing about it. Having been in the Valley for 20-plus years, I think I have a pretty good idea of the who's who of basketball people. And there were some of them. I ran into Gary Ernst, the longtime coach who I have a great deal of respect for over at Mesa Mountain View. I ran into him as he was walking into the ASU game against UNLV. It's fine. But there's a half dozen basketball junkie hoopaholics, I call them, that I bumped into down on the floor at the GCU game before it got started. GCU played Louisville. Louisville's ranked in the top 15. Big game on campus. Louisville did not have one of their better players there. This is full disclosure. Didn't matter. GCU, first media timeouts hanging in, second media timeouts hanging in, Patino's out on the floor, crowd's going crazy. Halftime, Dwayne Russell hits a shot, a runner, or a straight-up three, I should say, and ends up that GCU goes in at halftime right there with Louisville. And, you know, you get a sense in our business of, I've got a story here. That's why I went. I wanted to see if there was a story. If there was no story at halftime, I probably would have been out. Ended up being that GCU lost to Louisville by 77-70. Dan Marley's team played hard. Dwayne Russell set a career high in points. I think it was 42 or 43. He was all over the place. This is a good kid who went to Peoria, out of Peoria, so a hometown kid that makes good. That's a better story than anything else that was going on Saturday night. And the place was going crazy all the way to the end because Russell was hitting shot after shot after shot. He was terrific. So you have this this awesome environment. The place is packed. They had standing room only. It was the largest crowd that they've ever had. Yeah, they only have 7,500 seats. Doesn't matter. It's very smart. We need about a 15,000-seat facility here in the Valley, 12 to 15,000. Multi-purpose, you can play football, you can play soccer, you can do state finals. It's all well and good to play over at Glendale for football or basketball, but it's cavernous. It's cavernous. So GCU's doing it right. The exclamation point on this whole rant took place after the game. Here is Rick Pitino. Now, Rick Pitino is in the College Basketball Hall of Fame. Rick Pitino, whether you like him, dislike him, you look at Louisville, they've had some issues off the court, a big issue off the court here recently around their basketball program. I'm looking at X's and O's. X's and O's, Dan Marley, toe-to-toe, Rick Pitino in Phoenix. Not at Louisville, in Phoenix. Here is Rick Pitino. He just had Dwayne Russell drop 42, 43 points on him. And he just went through everything at GCU. This is Rick Pitino Saturday night.
Two things. That was the best guard performance I've seen against one of my teams since I've been coaching 40-something years. And we put everybody on him. We trapped him, taller people. He did it from mid-range, inside, passing, free throws, and threes. That was awesome performance. Second thing I want to say, this in college basketball in my 40-plus years was the toughest crowd I've ever faced. Awesome. I don't know how... I don't know a whole lot about Grand Canyon except for us doing Dan a favor coming out here. And I probably would have lost my job if I lost by doing people favors. But you got something special here, really special. I think when you have this type of enthusiasm, it made us a much better team tonight, much better. We couldn't, whether we go to Duke, Kentucky, and nothing was as tough as that environment tonight. They orchestrated on a timeout with music and the band, so you can't hear one word in your timeout. They have more students that come to one of our games, and we get 22,000. So I'm just extremely grateful we won, but just really, really impressed with what you have here. You're gonna, as soon as you get eligible for this tournament, you're gonna have something really, really special. The fans are special. The whole setup is special. Only thing you have to do is get bigger locker rooms. You have high school locker rooms, but outside of that, it's awesome.
Okay, so when that came down on Saturday night, now, Eric, that's the first time you've seen it, and you're a hoopaholic.
Second time. I didn't see. I just saw the first part of that. I didn't see the back half about the locker rooms.
What's your initial reaction?
GCU should go plaster this on every single TV commercial. Dan should use this on every single recruiting trip. Anywhere in the arena. When you have someone like Rick Pitino that says something like that about your program, you need to blow it up as big as possible.
So I saw where John Rothstein at CBS has already put it out there. Now, is he a friend of Jerry's? Yes. Okay, so I'm going through all this. GCU goes to Louisville next year, and Louisville is actually paying GCU $100,000 to go play that game. San Diego State comes here this Saturday, or this Wednesday, I'm sorry. Wednesday, San Diego State plays at Grand Canyon. GCU beat San Diego State last year out at SDSU on their home court. Next year, GCU is going to be eligible for the tournament. GCU is playing at U of A. Read my lips here. Now, if you're a Sun Devil, you get all wound up at me. Here's the facts. U of A says, we will play you. You have to come to our place, but we will play you. Next Wednesday night, U of A will host Grand Canyon University. But ASU, not going to play him. Michael Crow's all upset about online enrollment. Yeah. What's in the best interest of basketball? Well, the business side. You're just fooling yourselves if you don't think that this is already out of full steam going downhill on you guys. Next year when they go to the tournament, and they're going to go to the tournament because they're scheduling high. They're going to have high RPI. It's out of the box, guys. You got to get on board with this.
And I wonder, Brad, what sort of recruits Marley is going to get when they are officially off the NCAA. I mean, right now he's selling Phoenix. He's selling a great arena. He's selling a really good school. He's selling great non-conference. But other coaches are going to say, yeah, but you can't go to the tournament yet. When they are off next year, And if they have a big season this year coming off of their success the last couple of years, I mean, it's not unthinkable to think that they could be beating ASU for basketball recruits if it ever comes up to that.
The only downside on them is being in the conference. You know, Utah Valley State and Rio Grande and all that stuff. That's the only downside. But every year, New Mexico State has been the team that has made it to the tournament. Now, I've heard the West Coast Conference. They want to get the West Coast Conference. West Coast Conference presidents don't want to be involved with GCU.
But still, when you're scheduling those kind of, I mean, he's saying, we're going to go play at Duke. We're going to play Kentucky. We've got San Diego State coming. Yes. We have Louisville coming.
Yes.
I mean, that sort of offsets the... Yeah, we play in a smaller conference, but he could also sell. Guess what? We have an easier chance to get to the tournament because we're playing a smaller conference.
Hey, mid-majors, Butler is a mid-major. It's a pretty darn school to go to, and they're playing some schools that aren't on the front lines.
You know? Oh, yeah, a lot of those Missouri Valley schools are, and in fairness, Wichita State. I mean,
in fairness, Creighton plays ASU here in a couple of weeks, okay? And Creighton's ranked 10th in the nation. They may be a top five program. This is more my rant about how ASU and Michael Crow have to get on board with basketball here. It's great they had UNLV the other night, but U of A is scheduling GCU. Get off your backside and get it done. Paula Bovin's next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin. Always good to catch up with Paula on a Monday. I went to the GCU game the other night. Rick Pitino gushed, and I am into that. The Cardinals end up winning yesterday. They still need a lot of help. It's Carson's best showing of the day. So I'm into that. College football playoff, the Fiesta Bowl set. I think they did the right thing there, although I would have liked to have seen Washington here simply from a fan standpoint. I think you could have made the argument they could have been 3, Clemson 4, and we would have had Washington and Ohio State. Tigers back. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Where do you want to start? What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I was off last week, so I didn't go to the GCU game, but I was floored. I got to tell you, I was floored by his comments, Pitino's comments, just about, you know, how defensively strong they were to the crowd. Was that hyperbole? I mean, you got a feel of it. Was it a hyperbole, or were those real words?
I think there was some hyperbole. I think that there is the, I'm doing Jerry a favor by coming to Grand Canyon University. I mean, he alluded to it. I did Dan a favor by coming here. If I would have lost, I would have lost my job, right? So I think there was a little bit of that. Jerry was in California, so he was not at the game. For him to say Dwayne Russell, best performance by a guard he's ever seen, I'm thinking, wow, he's seen some really good guards, one.
Yeah, there's some U of A people who had some comments about that. But
and then the... Then there was the toughest environment I ever played in, better than Duke, better than North Carolina. You know, that was taking some shots, I think, at Duke and North Carolina, just rattling the cage. So whether there was or wasn't, I was there on Saturday night. It was as neat an atmosphere. And for basketball fans, you know, I went on my little usual yearly rant about how ASU basketball, I did the double Saturday, Paul. I went to the first 5 minutes of ASU-UNLV, I was there for warm-ups. I got there an hour beforehand, and it's like a mortuary. It's just not fun.
Yeah. Not good. And go ahead.
You know, go ahead.
I'm just, next year, Grand Canyon is eligible for the tournament. And so I'm really excited to see where this program goes because it has exceeded my expectations. And I've told you this before. Back in the day, I'm like, Grand Canyon, you know, I'm one of those people, I moved to Arizona, I'm like, what is this Grand Canyon? And before they really built up what it is now, I just didn't think much of it. And then when they hired Dan, when they built that, you know, that arena, and now when I've been on campus, I'm like, holy crap. I go up to, last time I was up in Seattle, somebody was telling me their daughter was going to go down there, you know. It's now nationally known. So I'm really blown away at where it's gone and excited to see what happens next year when they're, you know, allowed to be with the big boys.
Well, they have San Diego State this Wednesday night at home. But the following week, they are playing in Tucson against the U of A. U of A is hosting GCU next week. So this whole thing about Michael Crow not wanting to play Grand Canyon University because he's upset that Jerry and the building thing and that Michael that Crow and Brian Mueller doing spitballs at each other, all the back and forth behind the scenes. Let's just cut down to brass tacks. If U of A is saying, well, let's play GCU, then why doesn't ASU? And coaches want to play them. And we've kind of danced around this with Ray, and it always comes back to, well, it's above me, it's above my pay grade. It's clearly on Michael Crow. I mean, clearly people need to take him to task on this because it's not good for the Valley to have something like this. Economically, it's just silly that he puts his team on planes or flies Mississippi Valley State in here, but he won't put a team on a bus to drive 12 miles to go play a basketball game. It's just absurd.
Well, and I've talked to Michael Crow quite a bit about this. I mean, he's very, and it's a personal belief, but he's very bothered by the for-profit status of Grand Canyon. Now, I know they were trying to get that changed and almost did, and then I think it fell through. But when you look at where Grand Canyon is now, where they are athletically, they have to do it. ASU is going to have to commit to it. I don't know if it comes when Grand Canyon makes some changes regarding the status and everything else as far as for-profit versus not-for-profit. But, I mean, the state needs more rivalries like this. You know, there are not, unlike most states in this country, there are not many colleges in Arizona.
Right.
It's a very weird thing when I moved to this state. I'm like, where are all the colleges? So I think this would be, I think it would be great. And yeah, I'm sure, you know, playing Dan Marley and that team right now would not be an exciting thing for ASU. But I just think you're right. I mean, I think it has to happen. The rivalry is important.
I'm just wondering if it's like when Gonzaga first got going, if Washington said, there's no way we're going to play that little school over there, you know, or when Marquette got going, if Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, they said, we're not going to play that little school over there. If there was that initial period of you're a newbie and you're really nothing, and then, well, yeah, they're actually better than you. And the student section, it's nice to have curtain of distraction. It's fine. But, you know, you've got 7,000 fans going crazy over at GCU. And the students are there. The teachers give them extra credit for going. I had some people at ASU say, well, yeah, because the teachers give them extra credit. So what? Give them extra credit. It's not that hard. You're a teacher. I'm a teacher. We do it. So.
Oh, Brad, I lost you here a little bit. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Oh, now we're back. Okay. Yeah, I was under a tunnel. Sorry about that.
We're talking with Paula Bovin. Let's switch over to the Cardinals for time's sake. Are you still of the, there's a mathematical chance and this can happen and that can happen and all of that. Are you in that mindset or are you, no, this is about 2017?
No, you know, I am. And it's a little bit of the glass half full personality that I have, Brad, but it's kind of fun to think, just for someone covering the team, that they're still in the mix and things seem to be kind of working their way, you know, with some of the other teams, not everybody, but things can be falling in place, and they control their destiny, right? They just have to win their games. So they still have the opportunity. They certainly looked a lot better yesterday. I mean, I thought, you know, Carson Palmer looked terrific, and a lot of that was him, but it was also, you know, guys making plays for him. And you know, Aaron just seemed to be back in his game, too. You know, the gunslinger thing, which I know drives some people crazy, the no-risk-it, no-risk-it mentality, but it paid off for him yesterday with a couple of his decisions. So they seem to kind of have that mojo, that, you know, intangible thing that we in sports like to talk about sometimes. It seems to be happening for them. Now, are the odds kind of good that they're going to get in the playoffs? No, but I certainly wouldn't write it off.
If they if he doesn't get the 4th-and-1 yesterday, then Arians is just crushed, and it's the game has passed him by and his health and all this stuff. If he doesn't get the 4th-and-1 yesterday.
Of course.
And I think everybody, when they were doing the, it's 4th-and-1, you're going for it at this spot of the field. You must really not like your punter. You must really not like what's going on with your special teams, because nobody else does either, by the way. And,
yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the college football playoff, are you pleased with how that turned out?
Sure. You know, I have been an 18 playoffer since, so it always feels me a little unsatisfied or dissatisfied, because you look at, you know, the teams that were left out that could have been in the mix. But as far as with the four they have, I thought they got it right. You know, it's hard for people, and I understand that, because everybody has their own sort of standards of what should come first when you're making the decision. Is it a conference championship? Is it margin of victory? Is it, you know, how you're playing now? And the committee has its own set of rules, but I really think when you look at the four that are in there, they are the best four that should be represented, you know, in this game. I'm with you. You mentioned you'd rather have Washington out here. I think for the conference that would have been great, but you know, a lot of people are excited about that coaching matchup, but despite the point spread I've seen in Vegas for that game, people think it's going to be closer than some are expecting.
A couple more questions to Paula Bova, News and Notes. So Rich Rod, as an analyst for Fox Friday night for the Pac-12 title game, did you think anything of that other than, oh, it's nice to see Rich Rod, or did you read more into that?
No, I didn't think much more of it at all. I mean, I just thought that was a, you know, a good choice. Didn't he do a little of that right before he got the UA job, right? I mean, I think that's what he was doing.
Yep.
And so, and I didn't get a chance to hear him in this scenario, but when I've heard him in the past, he's been pretty good, very likable. And so, I didn't take any more out of that, although, you know, now that you mentioned it, it is kind of interesting, Brad, but I don't think that's the case.
Okay, and then ASU over the weekend, I'm not going to go too deep on this, but ASU football over the weekend brought in a bunch of the top recruits from within the state, but they also had a quarterback brought in who is over at Palomar Community College, who was at Alabama, who's at a JUCO, who comes and visits. Does it do anything in your mind, raise an eyebrow, that Todd Graham is bringing in a JUCO quarterback to kick the tires on the program?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I think ultimately you are best when you have a lot of competition for one important spot. And if that's what he's doing, if that means he's going to start a JC, or if that means this JC is going to make some young, you know, freshman or sophomore better, so be it. I don't think he's saying anything other than we got to get better at this position, and this competition will make us better. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by it. I know that, you know, this is obviously another big important recruiting class for him. I'm kind of curious to see how all the pieces fall there, but I'm not overly surprised that he did it.
I guess I look at it and say, if I'm Manny Wilkins, you have to know that competition's part of the deal, but you also, if you're running a college football program, you want to have some stability at quarterback and say, this is our guy coming into next season. He can't feel that. Brady White, does it mean that his comeback is going slower than expected? Did they not see as much out of Dylan Sterling Cole? Is Bryce Perkins going to transfer? Is Ryan Kelly, the kid from Basha, who's a senior coming to ASU, is he just not simply ready? I mean, you go get a junior college quarterback when you're looking for something for immediate help. Usually JUCOs are immediate help. I guess that's why I'm looking at this saying, Todd, you got four guys there already. What's going on here?
To me, it's a no-lose situation. You either get somebody who can fill in a hole if indeed these guys aren't ready, or he's making these guys better by being prepared and making them work hard at practice or whatever. You know, I mean, the reality is, I think it was tough to get a true evaluation of Manny because of his injury, but I think when he played healthy or almost healthy, did he do enough to say this job is mine? I don't think so, Brad. I mean, I think he has a lot to offer, but I don't think he secured that job by any stretch of the imagination.
And I would agree with you on that. All right, safe travels. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Okay, good talk to you, Brad.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. I'm going to try to figure out this Heisman vote because I've got like an hour and a half left during the break. And if not, we'll just sit here on the air and try and figure it out. We also have a new addition to the staff that I'm excited to bring you. We'll get into that on the other side as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. All right, before we get out of here, a few other things that happened here today. Well, tonight, actually. The Suns are off tonight. They gave up a $1.38 to Golden State on Saturday night. I mean, They, like we said, there's going to be peaks and valleys. The Cardinals are off. They'll get back at it Wednesday. They play at Miami this week, play against the Dolphins. GCU against San Diego State this week. U of A plays tomorrow against UC Irvine. And U of A end up losing Parker Jackson Cartwright. They don't have guards. And this Trier situation just hangs over their head. And there's all sorts of stuff blowing around out there. I'm not going to talk about it on the air, but there's lots of stuff. ASU basketball plays Purdue tomorrow night. That's a good game. That game's in New York City as they continue their world travel. It's like 5,000 miles. I'm not joking. I put this in a three dots back in, I think, in the summertime, where they're just on the road, go, 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 go. So that's going on. My Heisman Trophy vote is due today. I've tried to log on here during the show a couple times because I waited to go all the way through it. And I was so dead set on Lamar Jackson. We're not supposed to talk about who we're going to vote for, but I'm just going through the obvious candidates. Jake Browning fell off my list when they lost to USC, and I didn't think he looked all that great at times against Washington State. He's a good player, but I'll have Brock Hewitt on the show tomorrow, and we'll talk to Brock about it because I can then reveal it. And then, Deshaun Watson is a very good player. But it's not like this year was a great Heisman Trophy year. They may go on and be great NFL players. But like the best player that I saw this season was Adoree Jackson over at USC. Adoree Jackson played like, what was it, three different positions and made plays on offense and defense and special teams. He's not going to win a Heisman Trophy, but that's the best player that I saw this year. So I could go really out of the box on that. And of course, Fitz passing Chris Carter on the all-time reception list was just one of the notes from yesterday's game, but it speaks to what we have here in Arizona and how we have to appreciate it. You can write and wax poetically about it and all that stuff and say, oh my gosh, Fitz is so amazing. And look, the end is near. End is near for him. And for him to go out and pass Chris Carter, it's a good name, obviously. Not many of you are going to be able to say, I saw a first ballot Hall of Famer, because that's what he is. And I'm really interested to see, more than the football stuff, what does he do with the rest of his life? Because he has so many interests. So all that stuff caught my eye today. We're back at it tomorrow. Up Peter King. Last week, Peter was in a cab in New York. Who knows where Peter's going to be this coming week. While Brock Cured with us, while Michael Fabiano, we will have Jordy at the winter baseball meetings. We're going to have Pedro on this week from the winter meetings as well. We'll get to all that. That will be coming up as the week progresses. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of everything. Haley Stasiak, our new addition to the staff. Really excited to have Haley on board. She is awesome. You'll see her popping up on the TV show and on the website as well. Thanks for being with us.